glad you're here. Oh, isn't it good just to give our Father God all the praise, all the worship, knowing that He loves us so much. Why don't we go ahead and start off with another word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, as we look into Your Word now, I pray that Your words will just come alive and speak to us in ways that will truly transform us. Because that's why we're here, Lord. It's Your Word, it's Your presence that we desire. So Father God, just magnify Yourself in this very place right now. Father God, we want the fullness of Christ in our minds, our souls, and our spirits. So Lord, we praise You for what You're going to show to us today. We give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all my brothers and sisters in Christ say together,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God and praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, the title of my sermon today is, The Answer is Right Under Your Nose. The answer is right under your nose. You know, it's kind of funny. People always say you really don't know someone until you live with them or you marry them. You know, before my wife, John Lee here, before she married me, she thought I was the neatest, cleanest person there ever was. Until what? She married me. It's because every time I knew she was coming over to my apartment, this is when we were still single, you know, I would clean up my apartment and I just made sure everything was spick and span, only when I knew she was coming over. And then when we got married, she realized, hey, you're not that neat after all. And she also realized I wasn't that organized. Can you believe that? You know, I have to tell you, you know, there are times when I was looking for something, it could be my keys or whatever, I would say, Hun, have you seen my keys? It was there just not that long ago. Did you touch it? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And my wife would say, it's the same place you always put it, Ben. And I say, Hun, it is not there. And then she would say, okay, if it is there, Ben, you're going to get it. I said, come, look, it's not there. And guess what would happen? She would come and she said, Ben, it's right there. You're going to get it. And then I know she would, you know, just look at me and say, Ben, don't you look before you ask? And I say, well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. It was right under my nose. The only explanation is maybe I think my eyes are getting old. What other explanation, right? But you know what? There are times when we know that we can go to God and just ask Him for anything. And God, He loves us so much. He wants to provide His very best for us. And sometimes it's right there. But sometimes we don't look. We don't seek Him with our heart to realize the point, hey, He's given us everything we need. Look what it tells us in Proverbs 17:24. It tells here, a man of understanding sets skillful and godly wisdom where? Look where it says. Before his face or under your nose. But the eyes of the fool are where? On the ends of the earth. You know, as Christians, we are to seek after God for answers in helping us through life's most difficult situations and circumstances. Because that's what we are told. That's what we are taught. But here's the thing. Sometimes we just don't want to mess up. We don't want to create stress in our lives. So we want to make absolutely sure it's the right decision. So we go to God and say, Lord, I won't go until You tell me. Lord, I won't go until I know it's absolutely 100% You. Well, sometimes when we go to God like that, you know, we say, remember, Lord, I'm not moving. And the problem is, we never move because we've got to be 100% over the top with certainty. It may have to do with accepting a new job. It may be relocating to another country. It may be involving marrying someone. So we pray and we pray, and it may have been that God had actually given us an answer, but we may not have liked His answer, because sometimes God would say, no, don't marry the guy, or don't accept this job because it's not right for you. He may say, no matter how much they offer you, don't accept it. And then we kind of say, but Lord, I'm getting old. I want to get married. I want to have a family. And we know God is saying, but you have to wait for me, child. Or he may tell us not to accept that child because it may not be a godly environment. But we say, Lord, I need this job. I got bills to pay. But God says, wait, child. I got my best in store for you. And there are times you got to wait. There are times we got to trust in God so much. Say, Lord, I know this is like an opportunity of a lifetime. But Lord, if you say no, I'm not going there. But you know what? Instead of trusting in God, we say, Lord, I wonder why you've been so silent. Lord, why haven't you answered my prayer? And you know what? Here's the thing. I see this a lot, and I got to be honest. I've done this before. I'll go to everyone I know in the church and ask for their advice. You know what? This is like going to the ends of the earth. Are there ends of the earth, by the way? Has anyone ever seen the end of the earth?
None.
Yeah. But yeah, that's right. But here's the thing. We realize that's what we do. Sometimes we don't like the answer, or sometimes we want the answer that we want to accept. You know, so we go to everybody except to God. Because we want that perfect answer that is to our liking. But we got to realize sometimes God, He speaks to us in ways that we know this is God leading us. And actually, God has given us the answer, and it's right under our nose. You know, there's a story of a man whose house was flooded by a tsunami. As water came rushing in, he prayed like he never prayed before. In his mind, he pictures God sending forth His warrior angels, His mighty angels, coming down to swoop him to safety. You know, the water eventually rose to the top of his roof, and there he was, standing on his roof, just praying and believing in that miracle, that God would send His angels. Suddenly, a rescue boat appears, and the man tells him, hey, buddy, come on in. You got to come on in. We're here to rescue you. But the man, you know what he does? He refuses him and says, no, I'm waiting for God. And then a helicopter appears above him with a rope ladder being thrown down to him. But the man says, no, thanks. I'm waiting for God. And they're like, what? So the water eventually goes above the roof, and the man, because he's not a good swimmer, he drowns and he dies. And up in heaven, the man stands before God, and he asks, Lord, why didn't you save me? I prayed to you. And God said to him, didn't you realize I sent my angels on a rescue boat, but you didn't want to get in? And then I send my angel in a helicopter, and you still refuse him. And sometimes God's answer, I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, is very plain and clear, but it's not like how we want it. So what do? We dismiss it. And sometimes we got to realize, you know it in your heart. The peace of God will settle in your heart, and you know if He's telling you to go or to stop and turn back, you will know. And God, He will give you peace about it. Well, here's the question. So what should we be looking for or not be looking for when searching for God's answers? Well, look at number one here. It says, we should be looking to see if our lives are right before God. Right before God. Right in that blank, right. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 3:1-14. It says here, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And what do we mean by rare? It meant it was seldom happening. God was not really speaking to His people. I want you to understand something here. The boy Samuel, he would grow up to be a wonderful prophet of God because he was trained and apprenticed by the priest named Eli. The only problem was that Eli's sons, who were also priests, they were evil. And you can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Because in those days, meat sacrifices were offered to God. And the people would bring it to the priest, and the priest would offer it to God as burnt offerings. But you know what they did? The priest, instead, they were taking it, the meat, right? And especially the fat portions, they were eating it for themselves. This was supposed to be sacrifice to God. And also, to top that off, it tells us in the scriptures that they were also sleeping around with the women that were serving in the tabernacle, in the church. These are priests now. And now you can understand why the word of the Lord was rare. God was not really speaking. And this is what God says in verse 12. It's in your notes. This is what he says. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Whoa. And that is why God hardly spoke or gave answers to the priests or his people. It was because of what? Their sins. And you gotta understand, if there is flagrant sin in your life, what do I mean by flagrant sin? I mean sin that you know is wrong and you know it's totally displeasing God, and yet you say, you know what? I know I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but I still choose to do it because everyone else is doing it. I still choose to partake of this sin. That's flagrant sin. And if you've been praying, you've been seeking God for answers, and it seems like your life is just getting worse, well, you gotta realize there may be something wrong in your relationship with God. There's something you gotta make right with Him, because there is sin. We simply make it right. And we say, Lord, help me. I confess of my sins. Help me not to sin anymore. I don't want to keep doing this thing over and over, knowing that I'm displeasing you. You make it right with God, and God will let His presence just fall upon your life. That's what we all must do, because there will be no answer under your nose, or anywhere for that matter, if you're living in a life that you know is sinful. If you're living a life that you know you're doing things that you're really hurting, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And you simply say, Lord, I want to make it right. And He will help you. Sometimes you got to remember that we're not in it alone. If you're struggling with a temptation or a sin, you got to ask help from God. He will strengthen you. He will empower you. He will help you to resist, help you to walk away from your sins. Because this is what it says in James 5:16. Look what it says there. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a what? A righteous person is powerful and effective. And let me ask you, you probably heard me ask you this before. When we talk about a righteous person, does this mean that this person is always right? No. Okay, because can you be without sin? I mean, totally without sin, forever. I mean, no. I mean, as long as we're here on this planet Earth, you know, we're going to have sin. But the question is, are you making it right with God? Are you confessing your sins to God? Are you repenting? That's what makes you a righteous person. The very fact that you're always making it right with God. And if you are, God looks upon you as His child that is righteous. Amen? And that's what we all have to do. We got to have a contrite heart. That's what the word contrite means. Always willing, always wanting to make it right with God. Well, number two here, it says we should make sure our hearts are fully turned to God and that we are not looking for answers from something that is not of God. Let me read that again. We should make sure our hearts are fully turned to God and that we are not looking for answers from something that is not of God. Look what it says here in Zechariah 10:2. It says, the idols speak deceit. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for a lack of a shepherd. And you know, I gotta tell you, I once knew of Christians that say they believe in God. They go to church and, you know, they tell people they're a Christian. They pray to God and seek Him for answers. But at the same time, they look in the daily newspaper for their astrological readings. They look for guidance. I ain't kidding you. They're really dead serious about, you know, their astrological sign and seeing what kind of guidance they can get from it. And they would tell me, yeah, I feel God's peace. He's leading me to accept this new job. Yeah, I know this is what God wants me to do. And suddenly they'll turn to the the newspaper where it has their astrological reading, and it says, you know, do not accept anything new that is coming into your life. It might be harmful to your career. Who do you think they listen to? God or this reading?
The devil.
Yeah, the devil. That's what it is. And you got to realize that's what the devil does. He throws these kinds of things in our face saying, oh, it's okay. You can go to God, but there's something else that can help you in life too. And we got to realize our devotion has to be solely, I say solely, upon God. You only go to God for guidance. You don't go to any other source for divine guidance. It's only Him and Him alone. Because otherwise, this shows you're not truly devoted. You're not fully trusting in God. You're putting your faith on something else. God says, your worship belongs to me and to me alone. So we gotta be careful. We do not turn to things like that. Amen? Look what it says here in Isaiah 50, verses 10 through 11. It tells us here, who among you fears the Lord and obeys His servant? If you're walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out! You will live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. And too often I'll hear of Christians that either are just getting impatient with God or just don't like the answer that God had given them. And they're trying to take matters into their own hands. And they're choosing to do things their own way, believing that they can be comforted by their own fire. Like what the scripture tells us. They say, I'll create my own fire. God, you're taking too long. Lord, I'm going to figure out this one myself. Because it seems like you're not really going to do anything. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I hear this. This is what people tell me. They get impatient and they say, okay, it's time for me to take matters into my own hands. You know, I recently read this article that in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would usually wander off from his flock and get into the rocks and into places that they couldn't get out of. You know, here's the thing. The grass off of their mountains was very sweet, and the sheep, they loved it. So they would jump down 10 or 12 feet onto this mountainside, and you know what? They can't jump back. And the shepherd hears them bleeding in distress. They're like, blah, help, blah. And they're crying out to the shepherd. And they may be there for days until they have eaten all the grass. And, you know, it's totally bald because that's all they got to eat, right? And the shepherd will wait until they are so faint that they cannot stand. And then the shepherd will put a rope around the sheep and go over and pull that sheep out of that death trap. Because if it's there another day, it's gone. It's going to die of starvation. And the shepherds, they were asked, why don't you go down there when the sheep first gets there? And the shepherd, you know what he would say? He said, ah, because these sheep are very foolish. They would dash right over a higher cliff and be killed if they did. And it's kind of funny, right? We are called sheep too, right, in the Bible. And kind of, wow, you know, realizing that sheep are not that intelligent. But you know what? That is the way of man, isn't it? They won't go back to God until they have no friends. They got no one else. They lost everything. And sometimes, you know, I hear it a lot, especially in the park, where people, you know, they tell me, oh, now that I've lost everything, I got nobody, no one, got nothing. The only one I can turn to now is God. And you know what? When your heart realizes, yeah, God is for you, and seems like no one else is, that's when they say, okay, my only hope is God. And then things start to turn around as they start looking to God, trusting in God. But I tell people, really, you want to wait till you hit rock bottom before you look up to God? Make a decision to look to God today, no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance. Look to God now. God wants to welcome you into His family. God wants your heart today, right now. Because if you are a wanderer, I got to tell you, the Good Shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself. Because a lot of times we try to save ourselves But God says, no, you got to let me save you my own way. And it's when we say, Lord, whatever you ask, Lord, it's not my way. It's your way. It's your way, Yahweh. And then God says, okay, my hand is coming down. I'm going to pull you out of that pit. I'm not going to let you stay there, child, because I love you too much. You see, God's waiting for our hearts to turn to say, Lord, I need you. I need you so much. That's when God will come in. Amen? Well, number three here, it says, look for God's voice in providing you instructions when you start taking those steps for the plans He has made for you. Look for God's voice in providing you instructions when you start taking those steps for the plans He has made for you. The reading is from 1 Kings 19, 11 to 15, and this is God's instructions for the prophet Elijah. It's in your notes. You can go ahead and read it as I read it out loud for you. This is what it says. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord, He was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of what? A gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing there, Elijah? He replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. I want you to realize that sometimes a Christian will believe that God's answer has to come in some form of dramatic or an extremely unique way. You know, sometimes I hear a believer saying, I will only believe that this is really God's answer only if this happens. And you know, sometimes God can do whatever He wants. We can go to God like that. But realize, look what it tells us here. It was that small, gentle voice, that whisper that Elijah knew, okay, I know what you want me to do. And God was able to speak it to him, all the instructions, when he was still. He didn't need a great fire or some form of earthquake or some gushing wind. He just needed a still, small voice. Yeah, not earth, wind, and fire. And we realize that's what we need, just to hear His still, small voice. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this voice is so real. There are times, I got to tell you, I'm pacing to and fro because I'm so worried and anxious about something. And Johnny says, Ben, it's time for you to be still. Know that God is God. Because sometimes I'll wear out the carpet or wear out the flooring because I'm pacing to and fro. And it's when I'm still. I say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. I gotta tell you, this voice is so real. His sweet, loving voice just comes. And He speaks to me in ways that I know my heart is just melting in love with Him as He speaks to me. That's what we need to do. If you catch yourself pacing to and fro, just listen to the voice of God. Make it a decision that I'm going to sit down. I'm going to find a quiet spot. It's just me and God. And I can hear His voice very clearly. Because sometimes when we try to only think that God will only speak through some dramatic or totally unique way, we're going to miss out on what God is trying to tell us. I'm going to give you some examples of this. And these are things that I just kind of made up. But you know what? Sometimes I hear these things from people. I mean, they're not that far off. I'll give you an example. Someone may say, I know that this is the job that God wants me to have only if the CEO of the company himself calls me and begs me to work for him. Then I know that this job is for me. Like, that's going to happen. You know what? Some people, they believe. They said, no, If this is God, it has to be dramatic. It has to be something super duper. But you know, sometimes we gotta say, Lord, I just need your voice.
Yeah.
Or someone may say, I know that this is the woman that God wants me to marry. If I hear her name at least 7 times today, spoken by 7 different people or 7 different strangers, and you know what? Their wives gotta have the same name as this person. Okay, I think you're going to be single probably the rest of your life. Who knows, right? But you can go to God like that. But you know what? You got to make sure this is something that the Holy Spirit is leading you to want and desire. Or someone may say, I know that this is the house that God wants for me. If this house has 4 bedrooms, a swimming pool, and the owner will offer it to me at half the price of what he listed. Well, you know, because, you know, here's the thing. I know there are times when we were looking for a house, you know, I expect big and great things from God.
Amen.
But sometimes you got to wonder, are you only wanting these things? That's why you're putting these conditions only because you yourself want a swimming pool. It's not because you say, oh, it's because what God wants for me. This is why we have to be careful. We got to go to God and say, you know what? I just need your still, small, gentle voice. When we're still, that's when God can just speak to us. And you will know it's Him, because it will not just enter into your mind, it will be in your heart. You have a peace in your heart about it, and you will know what exactly you need to do. Because I believe that a lot of people, they will make up these outrageous conditions because they're afraid that they will make mistakes. They say, but you know what, it's because I don't want to make a mistake that, you know, I will have regrets for the rest of my life. Well, I say, if you're going to God, you think God will steer you wrong? Because here's the thing. What I realized, there are times when God led me to do something, and you know what? It didn't turn out smoothly, at least in the beginning. You know, it didn't go as planned, you know, as I thought. But you know, God will continue to guide you every step you take. You must believe this. Even if it's not as smooth as in the beginning, if you know God has led you there, God will work things out. He will continue to lead every step you take. It doesn't mean that you're alone, because some people think, oh, I made the wrong decision. I thought it was God, but it wasn't. Now God's not going to take care of me. He's not going to continue to lead me because I didn't really follow Him. I said, no. Look what the scripture says here in Proverbs 16:9. It says, in his heart a man plans his course, but what? The Lord determines his steps. Because a lot of times when we hear from God, it's from our heart. So we say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you ask. And in your heart, you plan this course. But sometimes, like I said, it doesn't go out as planned. But look what it says there. The Lord still determines your steps. You keep walking, looking towards God, you will not go wrong. God will continually lead you to the path He wants you to take. And I look upon it like this. Every morning before I step out into the world, you know, before I step out of my doorway, I say, Lord, I want to step right into your footsteps. Lord, lead me. And we just go to God. And as we take each step, we're stepping into the footprints of God. And we know He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to continue to show you what steps you need to take in life. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you're never alone. Because God says, I will not stop guiding you. I will not stop leading you as long as your heart belongs to me. So here's the question. So what should we do next after God shows us His answer? Well, it says right there, speak loudly of your testimony of what God has shown you. Look what it says here in Matthew 10:26-28. It says here, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daylight comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout it from the housetops for all to hear. And that's what it is. When you know God has revealed something to you, man, and God, He shows Himself in a big way. A miracle just happened in your life. Oh, don't keep it to yourself. tell someone about it, shout it on the rooftops what God has done for you. You know, the following story is a true story that happened a few years ago. You know, there's this young pastor who is struggling with his finances in his ministry, and he and his wife are expecting a baby soon, and they could barely make ends meet. I mean, they were really struggling. And one day, as he's getting ready to go to a church conference, the Lord spoke to him about giving all his money he had in his wallet when it was time for the collection of offerings. And you know, he just got paid on this job that he had, and he just had $150. And he's thinking, oh, I'm going to pay my bills and provide for my family if I give away all my money. But he decided, because I heard from God, I'm going to do it. And he said, I'm going to take a step of faith, believing and trusting in God. And when it came time for him to give the money during the collection of offerings, the uncle, who is the pastor of the church, got up to the podium and prayed first. And just then, the Lord just spoke to him, and he said that he's to tell the congregation about his nephew, who is a young minister, who needs encouragement, and that the collection that will be collected during that night will all go to his ministry. And he says, give as only the Holy Spirit directs you. I gotta tell you know how much this young pastor collected that very night? Over $30,000. And this isn't a very big church, I gotta tell you. And this is the first time the uncle had this kind of offering. And you know what? I gotta tell you, the move of the Holy Spirit, when it touches the hearts of the believers, expect. These are the kind of miracles that will come forth. This is how awesome, how mighty our Father God is. You got to believe Him for great and mighty things, brothers and sisters, because that's what He does. And can you imagine this young pastor, how his faith is just elevated, just not just one notch, several notches. And you can see he's so blessed because he trusted and believed in God. Well, you know, I'd like to conclude by telling you something that just happened just a few days ago, actually, just this past Tuesday. You know, as of last Sunday, you all know our congregation decided to move out of the church building that we were in Kalihi Valley. And we looked for another place, but it just seemed like the rent that they were telling us that about how much it would cost was just totally out of our price range. And, you know, on Tuesday morning, I just started to seek the Lord, and I said, Lord, you got to show us where our new church home is going to be. Because, you know, on Wednesday night, we have our Bible study, and I'm thinking, Lord, we don't have a place to meet. And I be honest with you, brothers and sisters, I got a little anxious. I started pacing a little bit, and oh, Lord, what are we going to do? And I said, Lord, you better do something quick. Lord, really? You know? And I expected that He would give me an answer quickly. And you know what? He did, but in an unexpected kind of way. Because, you know, on Tuesday, after my son had finished school, I took him to Times Supermarket to do some grocery shopping. And when we were checking out our items, the bag boy was standing right there, and he was bagging my items, and he looked at me, and he says, Pastor, you remember me? I was kind of looking at him. I said, sorry, I don't. He then said, Pastor, I was homeless about a year ago, and you and your church came to care for all of us.
Amen.
He then said, every time I think about what he said next, I kind of start breaking up, so excuse me if I do again. He says, Pastor, God's been good to me. I now have a job. I got a place to live, Pastor. God's been really good to me. And, you know, he then described to me what he was wearing while he was still at the park. He says, Pastor, I was wearing a heavy green army jacket. And, you know, when he said that, suddenly I remembered him. And I also remember when he was there, he was wearing shoes that had duct tape, you know, taped across it because it was falling apart. I remember we bought him new shoes, and I just started just weeping. I just said, Brother, look like you're doing so well now, because now he's all clean shaven. During that time, he had, like, you know, I think he had a goatee and all that, long hair. I said, brother, I'm so glad God is doing wonderful things in your life. I shook his hand. I said, brother, keep trusting in God. You know, I was walking out of times. No, I was pretty choked up, I tell you. And I was holding back my tears. I turned to my son, Benson, and I said, Benson, if you ever wondered why we do what we do every single week, there's your answer. There's your answer. And just then, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I felt like he was calling me son. I just said, son. Now he's saying, son. Son. Here's your answer to the question you were asking me about the building. Then he just spoke to me in a way that I knew was him. He said, Ben, don't focus on the building. The people are the church. Your brothers and sisters are the ones that need to hear my word. Don't forget your original mission and calling in this ministry is to go out and serve those who are lost and need. Just then I realized that he not only gave me the answer that was under my nose, this answer was also inside my heart. It's inside all of your hearts. That's why we do what we do every Saturday and Thursday. We go and minister to our brothers and sisters there because we know a lot of times people tell them, oh, you're useless. They're thinking in their minds, we don't have any hope. We're hopeless. And we realize, we tell them, no. God values you. God loves you. You are with hope because God is your hope.
Yes.
That's what we are called to do. This is our mission. This is our ministry. We're serving our brothers and sisters in Christ because we're telling them, no. You got a bright future ahead of you because God has his hand upon your life. And he loves you more than you will ever know. You know what? The answer for all of us, it's not just under our nose. It's so deep within our hearts. I see it upon all of you that go out, you know, in the park on Thursdays and Saturdays. When you go, I see how Jesus Christ is shining in your lives. People, they see Jesus Christ. When we go to the park, they see our Father God's love. Because people will tell us, sometimes I hear this, they'll tell me, Pastor, you guys are different. No, because when you guys come, we experience a love that is real, that is genuine. Praise God. It's all of you guys. You're showing the love of God in a way that's touching their hearts. I praise God. For what a wonderful family we have here at Open Door Christian Ministries. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. I know, Lord, you directed every word, Lord, because I know, Father, I stayed up late Friday night just listening to your voice, Lord. And even though I was dozing off early in the morning, on Saturday morning, like 3, 4 a.m., Father, it was your voice that was speaking this message to me, and I know this is your Holy Spirit's leading. And I just pray, Father God, as we continue to seek after you, even within this church body, Father, as we know that you are the one that's leading us, Father, we know we will continue to walk into greater blessings. We know, Father, much fruit has been born because we hear it from the people, Lord, what God has done. When they come to us and say, you know what God has done for me? God restored my life. I have a job. I have a place to live. Oh, we just hear these things. We know it's the manifestation of your power and your presence because we go there with hearts telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because they take in the word, we see the changes. We see the transformation. This is the fruit of the kingdom. We see it in people's lives. And we praise you, Lord, knowing that you have called us to do this kingdom's work. It's such a privilege, Lord. It's such an honor to do it all for you. Because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us energized, doing great and mighty works for our Father God. And may we never grow weary or tired of doing great and mighty things for our Daddy God. And Father God, I ask you now, as your Holy Spirit comes and just touches our heart, I pray, Lord, if anything, Lord, that we need to make right with you this morning as believers, I just pray, Lord, we're going to make a decision that because we know from what we learned from Scripture that you cannot really allow the fullness of Christ to come into our hearts if there are things in our life that we choose not to make right with you. And I just pray right now, as your Holy Spirit comes and convicts us, we're going to say, Lord, I come clean unto you. Purify my heart. Purify my soul, Lord, so that I can just truly experience the fullness of Christ in my life. And if that's truly the cry of your heart, saying, Lord, help me. I want to be more like Jesus. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to come clean, Lord. I want to be more like your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that are raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I need your help. Father God, there are some things that I'm struggling with, but Father, help me to be victorious in Christ, that I will not allow the sin in my life to continue on, knowing that it grieves you. And I pray, Father, as we tune into your Holy Spirit's voice, I know, Father, you're going to wipe that slate clean as we confess of our sin. You're going to renew us. You're going to restore us. You're going to refresh us. And I just pray right now, with all my brothers and sisters, including myself, let your Holy Spirit's presence just come and fall afresh upon your children. Because we love you so much, Father, and we'll never stop. We'll never stop serving you with our whole lives. We love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart, because God knows your heart. And if you are serious about this, if you are saying, Lord, I surrender all of me unto you, you know what God will do? He will say, good, welcome into my family. But we must make that decision to say, Lord, I submit myself to you. I want to give my heart to you. If you've never done this before and you're saying, Lord, I am more than willing, I want to give of myself fully unto you. And the Bible says, do not deny our Father God, because if you deny Him, He will deny you. But if you receive Him today, He's going to say, welcome. Welcome into my family. And if you're wanting and desiring to make that decision today, you know the Holy Spirit is just tugging at your heart. Don't wait any longer. Today is the day of salvation. And if you know this is what God wants for you, can you simply raise your hand and say, Lord, I surrender. I submit myself to you. Anyone? Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand and say, that's me. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Yeah. Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer. Pray it out loud. Pray it with me. Let's pray together as a family, knowing that this is confessing and professing what we believe about our Father God. Just repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give Him glory.